Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn to the passage that we read. And I think, David, I'll just get you to pull them on as appropriate, so you can pull up the first one there, please. Thank you. As we come, as the image depicts, 2015 is beginning to fade into the background. And 2016 is coming more and more to the fore. And these particular days are days when people look back. It's a time for looking back. But sometimes looking back can degenerate into nostalgia. You know what nostalgia is? Somebody once famously said, nostalgia isn't what it used to be. Don't know if you know the name George Orwell, but away back in the 1930s, he said this. He was thinking back, and in the 1930s, he said this. He said, you know, away before the war, and especially before the Boer War, it was summer all year round. The summers were great. There was hardly ever any rain. And how many times have you heard somebody say, oh, whenever I was younger, the summers were wonderful. The summers were terrific. We hear that sort of thing all the time. And I suspect our minds play a little trick on us. I'm sure there were a few wet summers way back a few years ago. Sometimes people can go on about the past and about the past days and past years as if they were the sort of greatest thing since sliced pan. I'm sure I've told you this before, but the next time you hear somebody going on sort of saying, well, you know, away in the past, things were really much better, really, than they are today. You could remind them of a little verse in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, where it says this, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. You see, things don't really change. I think in every generation, people tend to say, oh, well, things were much better years ago. There is wisdom in moving on. Recently, I came across a funny little story. You may have heard this story of the person. It was actually a man who had moved into a retirement community. I think it was in the United States. And it wasn't long before he met some new friends and et cetera, et cetera. But there was a particular person that he got very friendly with. And he was particularly attracted to this lady. And one evening, he decided to pop the question. And he asked her if she would marry him. The next morning, he woke up remembering that he had made a proposal, but he couldn't actually remember what she had said. So he went to her, and he said, I'm really embarrassed to have to say this to you, but I remember proposing to you last night, and I can't remember whether you said yes or no. Oh, thank goodness, she replied. I remember saying yes, but I couldn't remember who I said it to. We forget. We are funny beings. And I suspect in life that we forget whenever we should remember. And we remember whenever we should forget. There is wisdom in looking forward, and there is a certain wisdom in forgetting certain things. And I want this evening, just as we think of the little words from Philippians, and if you've got your Bible, and there you have a summary of them in front of you, Philippians 3, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. So that really is my text for this evening on this closing Sunday night of 2015. What did he speak about? Well, this is what he spoke about. Forgetting what is behind and straining, I press on. So what sort of things should we forget? And are there things that we should not forget? Well, of course, let me qualify that right at the beginning. There are all sorts of things that we should not forget. That's not really my theme this evening. But of course there are things that we shouldn't forget. And you can think of many things that you really mustn't forget. Every time, can I suggest to you, every time that you and I meet in this church, we are remembering. Every time that we meet around the Lord's table, we are involved in an exercise of not forgetting. We are remembering the Lord's death until he comes. So, of course, there are things that we must not forget. But what are some of the things that maybe we would do well to forget? Well, let me suggest from this passage tonight a number of things. First of all, forget your failures. Forget your failures. Notice what Paul says in these verses. Verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Can I suggest to you tonight, and I'm sure we all realize this to some extent or other, the past can cripple you if you allow it to. What do I mean by that? Well, I'll explain what I mean in a moment. Paul, like everyone else, had a past. And there were certain things in Paul's life, certain things that he had done, certain things that he had been involved in, and if he had allowed those things to constantly be in his head, it would have crippled him. And he would have allowed himself to be of no use whatsoever to the Lord, because he would have been crippled by stuff that he had done in the past. There are certain things in life that by the grace of God, we have to say that is in the past. That is no longer relevant, and I'm now moving on with God. Like Paul, we too all have things in our lives that if we were to dwell on them, and more to the point, if we were to allow the devil to get us to dwell on them, and you know the way he operates, don't you? We've all had those situations in life where the devil comes in and he begins to accuse us. Do you remember that thing that you did? Do you remember that situation that you were involved in? Do you remember that mess that you got yourself into? And here you are, you say that you're a Christian. That's the way he operates. And we must say no to that. We must resist the devil. And by the grace of God, move to a better place. Like Paul, we also have failed. We also have let the Lord down. Who of you can look back over 2015 and honestly say, you know, I've never really let the Lord down this year? None of us. Not one. But my point is, by the grace of God, learn from those things, repent of your sins, and move on with God. Forget your failures. By the grace of God, know what it is to be cleansed afresh by the blood of Jesus, to be filled anew by the Spirit of God. Forget your failures. Leave them in the past. Do not allow the devil to accuse you and to cripple you from being useful for Jesus, because that can happen. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward. Brother and sister in Christ tonight, don't be crippled by stuff in the past. Bring it to God, get it sorted out, learn from your mistakes, and move on with the Lord. Forget your failures. The second thing I would suggest, and it may seem slightly strange initially, is forget your progress. What do I mean? Well, notice the context. Notice what Paul says here in verse 12. He has been speaking about his conversion. He's been speaking about how he wants to go on with the Lord. And then in verse 12, he says this, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." It would seem that in the Christian community where Paul was, and in this particular situation in which these Christians were, that there were some who were proclaiming this idea that you could be perfect in this life, that you could reach a state where you actually had attained everything that could be attained from a Christian perspective. And Paul distances himself from that. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. I'm not perfect, says Paul. I haven't achieved all that might be achieved for the Lord. I haven't done all that could be done for the Lord. Yes, there's been many things have been done. There's been much progress made. But here's the point that I really just want you to think about. You know the old phrase, and it's so true, that you could be saved and stuck. It is so true. And sometimes what happens is that whenever a person is converted, truly converted, whenever they truly give themselves to the Lord Jesus, whenever they repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, what can happen is that down the line a little bit, they can almost fall into a sense of being complacent. I've arrived. I've almost gone as far as I can go. There's nothing else to do. I'm saved, all right. But really, that's it until glory. And there is a danger in that. And so my point tonight, sometimes we need to forget the progress that has been made. And we need to have a desire to press on with the Lord, to keep going on with the Lord Jesus. Again, notice what Paul says. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Can I challenge you tonight, Christian man, Christian woman, brother and sister in the Lord Jesus? The Word of God is challenging you and me this evening to press on with God, to go on with Jesus, to lay hold of God for what He has for us over these coming days as we step into a new year and into that new year. Forget your progress. Think about Paul. What a record of spiritual growth and progress he could have thought about and he could have drawn to people's attention. But he says here, forgetting what is behind, I press on. Forgetting the achievements that are there, the progress that has been made, I press on. Brother and sister, can I ask you a question tonight? Are you saved and stuck? Are you stuck? Are you in a rut? It would be surprising if there wasn't somebody here this evening, and that probably is true of you. You are saved and stuck. You're in a bit of a spiritual rut. Well, the good news is that you don't have to stay there. And what better time than the close of one year and the beginning of a new year to spend some time over the next couple of days and find a quiet place in your bedroom or your living room or wherever you'll get a bit of peace and just come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm in a bit of a rut here. Help me to get out of it and help me to go on as a Christian. Are you growing as a Christian? What progress has been made over the past year? That's a very challenging question. It's a challenging question whether one is a minister or whether one is not. But we are meant to be growing. And there is always a danger in the Christian experience that we rest on our laurels. So again, let me encourage you strongly as I can, to find space over these next few days, maybe in your own quiet time, as you read the scriptures and as you pray, to really seek God. And if you're in a bit of a spiritual doldrum or a rut, or you're saved and stuck, ask God and plead with God to get you out of that place and to get you back on the road with Jesus. Sometimes we have to forget the progress that has been made and look forward to further progress that still has to be made. And the last thing I would say is this: not only forget your failures, forget your progress, but forget your grievances. In life, we can all be gripped by grievances and crippled by them. A Christian, strange as it may seem, and it's not particularly strange when you think about it, a Christian may have a secret grievance against God. You might be slightly shocked at that. But all of these situations, I can think of examples in life. Maybe some hardship has happened. Maybe some illness, maybe a bereavement, through which a person has actually, almost unbeknownst to themselves, got themselves bogged into a place of self-pity and feeling sorry for themselves. And they have, although they would never admit this, almost a secret grievance against God. God, why did it happen? Why did it happen? And they literally are held by that. Or sometimes people can have a grievance against themselves. Maybe they look back on some failure, some mistake, some missed opportunity. And in life, they've just never quite been able to get past that. And they keep going back, even back years, to some situation. And they blame themselves and they beat themselves up. And they need to forget that grievance. And then most popularly, of course, and sadly, most commonly, people have grievances not so much against God or themselves, but against other people. What someone has done towards you in the past, in the long distant past. Maybe it was someone in the family. Maybe it was someone at work. Maybe it was someone in the church. Maybe it was a neighbor or an employer or an employee or a spouse or a child or a person that you once trusted and they were once a dear friend and they hurt you so desperately and you've carried that grievance. Not only for weeks, but for months and for years. It happens. Be assured it happens. More than you might realize. And into that situation, I would simply draw attention to what the Apostle Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. There is a time to leave these grievances behind us. And yes, I recognize I live in the real world. I realize that with these grievances, particularly grievances with other people, things may never quite be what they once were. And you may or may not be fully reconciled to that person. It would be wonderful if you were, but it may not happen. But please, I say to you, pull out that root of bitterness and move into a new day, forgetting what is past. Bring the grievance to God. Lay it before God. Say, Lord, this is crippling me. I can't quite get over this. And I can only leave it with you. And ask that you would help me to step into a new day, forgetting what is past and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal. Because, folks, that's the point, isn't it? Paul mentions here the goal, the prize for which he and each of us in Christ have been called heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of these things can sometimes block our view of the big picture. The devil loves to do that sort of thing. He gets us focused on some wee thing, and then it becomes a really big thing, and we miss the really big thing. We miss the big picture. Part of our difficulty is that sometimes we have a very narrow view of God's plan of salvation for us. Paul has been, and you can go away home and think about this, Paul in Philippians 3 speaks about how in the past he was truly converted. He was saved by God's grace. He's speaking here about how he's desiring to go on with Christ, to grow in his salvation, until that day when ultimately he receives that salvation in glory. And he speaks about these things. This is the reason, verse 12, for which Christ took hold of me. For which, verse 14, God has called me heavenwards. Until that day, verse 21, when we're going to be changed and our lowly bodies will be like his glorious body. As I draw this together, I'm sure I have shared this with you before, an illustration from the life of the late John Stott, but I deliberately share it with you again because I think it's something that we all need to be reminded of, and it gives a complete picture of salvation in a way that I believe is not only enlightening but liberating and helpful. John Stott used to say that when he was a young convert, that a wise and godly leader used to say to him, John, there's three things that you need to remember as a young Christian that will help you in your Christian experience. First of all, you need to remind yourself of these words that you have been saved in the past from the penalty of sin by a crucified Savior. And you are being saved in the present from the power of sin by a living Savior. And one day, ultimately, you will be saved in the future from the very presence of sin by a coming Savior. Folks, I think that is very helpful counsel. And I leave that with you. I think it's so helpful that I'll repeat it for you. Try and remember it. That in the Christian life, that we can say, I have been saved from the penalty of sin through a crucified Savior. And here today, the 27th of December 2015, I am being saved from the power of sin by a living Savior who's alive forevermore, praise God. And one day, when we reach that further shore, ultimately, we will have been saved from the very presence of sin by a coming Savior. Think about that, brother and sister in Christ. And it will not only give you a biblical view of salvation, but it will inspire you not only to be able to say, yes, I have been saved by the grace of God months ago, years ago, but today I'm pressing on in that salvation. I'm growing in my salvation. And ultimately one day, I will receive the crown when the Lord returns or when he calls me home. Here's the big picture. As we step out of 2015 and step into 2016, Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting. Forget your failures. Forget your progress. Forget your grievances. And press on with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious picture of salvation past, present, and future. Salvation from the penalty of sin, hell itself. Salvation from the power of sin in today's world of temptations. And salvation in the future, glory to God, from the very presence of sin. So, Lord, from all of these things, the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for deliverance. And we pray, gracious God, that you would help us to forget those things that need to be forgotten and to press on with Jesus. And we ask this prayer in his name. Amen.